Job 33, verse 27. The Bible says, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. I thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord. Thank you for these young men standing up and preaching strongly your word, Lord. That means it's a privilege, Lord. It's very valuable what we just witnessed, Lord. And God, I pray you strengthen them. Help them to keep living for you. Help them with the different challenges and the struggles that they face, Lord, and the pressure that they feel from family, from friends, from coworkers, and all the rest of it, Lord. Help them not to give in to it. Help them to keep you as the most important thing in their lives. And I pray you would help us with that. God, we need to hear from you right now. I pray that you would please, God, use this in each young man's heart. Give them something. I know they've already heard some preaching, but God, I believe you have something in this message for each guy. And I pray you would please help them to listen for that. And please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, Lord. I pray that this would be pleasing to you. Pray you would be lifted up, Lord, and God, that you would draw us closer to you. We need you, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. Guys, here in Job 33, this little section I'm going to get into is very interesting to me, and I'll explain why as we go through. It's kind of tucked in a obscure spot, though. Number one, because it's in the book of Job. You say, what's wrong with the book of Job? Nothing. I like it. But the first couple chapters, Jaden, I guess, is going through that book, and he's learning things from it, and that's great. But the first couple chapters, action-packed, bro. Like, you know, this is where Satan basically says to God, Job only serves you because of what you do for him, right? And God says, that's not true. And he's saying, you know what, Satan? Go ahead and test that out. So God allows Satan to start taking things out of Job's life. His health comes in chapter 2. 10 of his children die early on in the book. Like, all his wealth is gone. Guys, he went from having everything to it all being ripped away from him. You say, in how long? A couple months, couple years? One day.
Yep. Yeah.
Bro,
yep.
One day. Yep. Everything. You're on top of the world till you're at the bottom of the barrel. Just like that. Rock bottom. Bam. By the way, fitting in with what was just preached about, where are you building your life? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Hey, guys, is it wrong to have some of these things? No, we mentioned that. You can have some nice stuff. Guys, you can have friends in the future, in the future, in the future. You can have a girlfriend, all right? You can have some of those things, and you can have some money and all that. But what is most important to you?
Yeah, it's good.
Guys, listen, you can have no money but be in love with money. Yeah. You can have no girlfriend but be girl crazy. Hello?
Yeah.
You can worry about all these things. It doesn't matter if you have them or not. What has your heart is the key thing. And God needs to have your heart. Solomon told his son in Proverbs 23, son, give me thine heart. Guys, we need to give God our heart. He needs to have everything. Listen, we need to love God so much that if he wanted, say, all right, I want you to leave America, go to this country on the other side of the world, drop everything and do that. Guys, we need to love God enough that we do that.
Yeah.
So just, let's keep, and you say, Bro Tom, that's easy to preach. You're right. It's hard to live.
Yep.
But let's always keep that willing heart. Say, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And guys, I struggle with this just as much as anybody else. But sometimes we say we're willing to go to the other side of the world for God. Well, let's make sure we're willing to go across the street to give out a track or to help somebody or to stand for God when it's not popular. Okay. So this is tucked in an obscure spot. Job went from everything to nothing, and that happens in the first two chapters. You may have noticed, though, the book of Job is not two chapters. I believe it's 42 chapters. And after you have them action-packed couple chapters where you're like, boom, 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 man, this is great, it slows down quite a bit. You say, what's going on in that slow section? Well, Job has three friends that you can't really even call them friends. All right, they come and they sit with Job, I believe, 7 days and don't say a word. That's the best thing they did. Because once they started opening their mouth, it started going downhill quick. Because you know what these guys are saying? Job, you know why you're suffering? Because you're in sin. You're a hypocrite. You've been faking everybody out all this time. And that's why all this bad stuff's happened to you. That wasn't true.
Yep.
In fact, though, these three friends, and the rest of the book, it's like they're going back and forth, back and forth. They're saying, you're sinful, you're a hypocrite, you've been faking everybody out the whole time. Job said, no, I'm not. And then they say, yes, you have. And then, no, I'm not. That's the rest of the book. And it can get a little like, whoa, you know, can we get the Psalms? Like, let's do something else. All right? But guys, some of these things that are said by his friends are true. They're misapplied, but they'll say some things about God. They'll say some things about life, and they're true. They just weren't true as it pertained to Job's situation. But those three friends go back and forth, and then this guy is the fourth one at the very end. He's younger, and I know Darren and I have talked about this. I don't even remember the preacher, but he's tried to like section this guy off and say, the three, they were terrible, but this guy's totally different, you know. He puts him on a pedestal. I think he's right in line with the other three. Like, this guy's arrogant, and this guy's, you know, thinks he knows everything. He's younger than them, and he's like, Job, let me tell you what you've done wrong. I'm like, I don't think you should have said that, dude. This guy's name is Elihu. But, yeah, he starts saying, okay, let me teach you the problem. Thinking, oh, boy, everybody's rolling their eyes. Like, here we go. But this section that he deals with in verses 27 through 29, it caught my attention a couple weeks ago, and I said, man, there's a lot of good stuff right here. And it's tucked in this obscure spot back in the end of the book of Job. And it comes from one of his quote unquote friends that were more like fake friends, right? But guys, this is who God is. And this is what he does. And it's in this little brief, short little package that so much is stuffed in here. And I like it. You know what it reminds me of? Especially let me read verse number 29. He says, lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. You know what he's saying? God does this stuff all the time. I like that. He's saying God does this all the time. This is not his first time. This is not something he just started last month or last year. God does this all the time. God's been doing it for a long time, and God does it all the time. And God doesn't just limit it to our country. This happens all around the world constantly, constantly, constantly. And I like it. You know what it made me think of? Verse number 29, a business card. You ever had somebody give you a business card? Or we're all familiar with that. You know, my card, sir. You know, you're like, ooh, wow, this looks fancy. And then you're like, I don't need this. You throw it away, right? A business card. You tell me, what is a business card all about? What are some of the essential elements on a business card?
Square.
It's square. You can get out of class. No, I'm just kidding.
Contact information?
Yeah. Let's not. He said more of a rectangle. We're not going there, all right? What do we got?
Yeah, phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Contact info, yeah. Name of the company. What else? What else?
Picture.
Some fake picture. They're like, you make your house look like this? And he's like, my house don't look like that, right? What else? What else?
Email.
Color.
Address.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be short. It's got to be quick, right? It's got to have some essential info on there. What do you do? Who are you? You know, I need some information about you. What services do you provide? What do you do? How long have you been in business? Sometimes this company established in, you know, 1864. You're like, dude, that's a long time ago. You know, they've been around a while. Contact information. And it's given as a reminder, right? So that you stick it on your fridge, you stick it somewhere in your house, and then later on you're like, you know, we did have, you know, this break in our house. Maybe we should call this guy and get our house to look like that fake picture he put on his card. You know, that would be great. All right? Guys, that's what I feel like this section is like. It's a snapshot, real quick, real short, small package, but it tells a bunch of cool things about God that I want to dive into. So I want to bring the message today, God's business card.
Amen.
God's business card. So I wanted to title it My Card, Sir, but I figured that would be a little extra, all right? In fact, it's funny, I'll be fast with this, but I've gotten business cards at some points. They've given them to me for the church, being the youth pastor, and then for my other job. I feel too awkward to give them out, though. You know, I feel like then you have to be somebody big, like, here's my card, brother. You know, like, I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it, but I'm going to preach about God's business card. All right, here we go. The first thing, there's a real beholding. There's a real beholding. Verse number 27, the first four words, he looketh upon men. Guys, this is referring to God. This is referring to our sovereign God, the creator God, the God that's in control of everything. You know what it's saying? He looks upon man. Hey guys, you know what that tells me? He's watching. He's wanting. He's waiting. He's looking. Guys, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That's Proverbs 15:3. It talks about the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You know what that tells me? God sees everything that's going on in the world, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
And if you have a heart that's right with God and you're seeking his strength and his power and his help, God sees that. His eyes, he's looking for someone like that. That's what it tells me.
Yeah.
Guys, That verse that I just quoted, 2 Chronicles 16:9, that should encourage some of you. Because you feel like nobody pays attention to me. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. I live in a rough neighborhood. And it seems like I try to do right. And nobody cares. Nobody sees it. Wrong. He's looking to give you his strength.
Yeah.
So he's looking for those things. In Jeremiah, he says, can any hide himself in secret places, saith the Lord, that I should not see him? He says, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. By the way, if you think you can sneak around and God can't see it, wrong, wrong answer.
Yep.
He sees it. He says, nobody can hide from it. You think you can hide from you think you can hide under a rock that God created from him? No. You think you can hide in a cave that God created from the one who created it? No. Right. It's not happening. Listen, he says, nobody can hide from me. I fill heaven and earth. So God is watching. He's wanting. He's waiting. And guys, this is happening constantly. God's watching us right now.
Yep.
Throughout the week, when you're at work this week, God is watching you. When you're at school this week, when your teacher's out of the room in school this week, he's still watching you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're away from your friend group, when you're not at a huge conference, God's still watching you.
Yep.
It's not about the bright lights. It's not about the attention. It's not about the crowd. It's not about the excitement. God's watching, and this is constant. This is continual, and he's concentrated, guys. You say, all right, God's watching, God's wanting, and God's waiting. What is he waiting for? What is he looking for? Glad you asked. Point number two, the realized brokenness. So the real beholding, God is looking, God is watching, God is watching your life. You may be 12, 13, 14, 15, somewhere in that range. Listen, God's watching your life. He's watching you. Doesn't matter what neighborhood, doesn't matter if you have the name brand or you don't, you got the thrift store name brand, you know, that's okay. God's watching, God's watching, God's interested. What is he looking for? Let's notice this verse, verse 27. He looketh upon men, so God's watching. Notice the rest of it. Guys, this is awesome. If any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for someone that has realized brokenness.
Yeah.
Brokenness. You know what that means? They've tried out sin, George, and it blew up in their face. And you know what they realized? I don't want that anymore. I'm sick of this thing. I'm fed up with it. I'm tired and sick of my sin. I'm fed up with it. I've had enough. Hey, guys, is there anybody like that? The realized brokenness. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said, I didn't come to heal the righteous. I came to heal they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know what we need to realize? That we're messed up.
Yeah.
When you realize that, God can help you and fix you up. But you know, a lot of people, they're messed up, George, and they're not going to admit it.
Yeah.
I'm good, man. I can take care of it. Now, I can't control my lust problem, but I'm good. Everybody's like that. That's not the matter. Listen, that's irrelevant. The problem is you have sin between you and God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lie a little, but it's no big deal. Oh, who says? Yeah, I disrespect my parents, but come on, man. No, guys, those are breaking God's commands. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know what God is looking for? You know what God's peering out of heaven and looking down for? He's looking for somebody that says, you know what? I don't want my sin anymore. I'm tired of my pride. I'm tired of my lust. I'm tired of my rebellion. I'm tired of my bad attitude. I'm tired of being like this. God, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to get out of here. God says, okay, now I can help that person.
Yeah.
The realized brokenness. What does this person do? First of all, I like this. It says, if any say.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a certain skin color, certain financial status. Doesn't have to be a certain place in the world. He says, if anybody, anybody, that's open to everyone. He has to have a personal admission. What is the first statement he makes? I have sinned. Not blaming everybody, not making excuses. No, no, you don't understand. Where I grew up, everybody, forget that. Well, my family has always struggled with that. Forget that. Guys, we've got to take responsibility for what we do. And nobody wants to do that. We want to blame everybody else and their grandma, but that's not the problem. The problem is us.
Yeah.
You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, what did I do wrong? Listen, it was preached about wrong friends. It was preached about wrong girls. It was preached about music and all that kind of stuff. But you know who the common denominator amongst all that stuff is? Us.
Yeah.
And we want to blame everybody else.
Yeah.
Are those things powerful? Yes, but we need to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
The realized brokenness. This guy said, I have sinned. And then notice this. After he says, I have sinned, he says, and perverted that which was right. So he has a personal admission. I have sinned. And then he realized that he has perverted the original aim of his life. Hey, guys, you know what I think he's saying here? God, you gave me all these things in my life. And what have I done with them? I've perverted them. You know what perverted means? It means twisted.
Yes.
You ever see something like a piece of metal, like that bridge that went down? a couple weeks ago in Baltimore. Guys, the original intent was what? A bridge. Mm-hmm. And it had its certain braces and columns and all these kind of things. What do you see now when you see the wreckage of it? It's twisted. Mm-hmm. That's perverted. It shouldn't be like that. It's of no good. It's of no value now. It's in terrible shape. It's all mangled. Listen, guys, God has a original aim and intent for your life. I wonder, by your choices, have you twisted it? Mm-hmm. You say, like, what? God gave you a mind. You know why God gave you that mind? So you could know him. You know why God gave you that mind? So you could find out what this book says and apply it to your life. You know why God gave you that mind? So that you can use that mind to work and to function in this world and to live in a way that honors and pleases him. But you know what a lot of people do with that mind? Click on junk and ruin that mind.
Yep.
That's perverted, guys. Yep. You know why God gave you your eyes? So you can read his word.
Yep.
You know why God gave you your eyes? So you can live a life and a normal, healthy life. But you know what a lot of guys do? Click, click, click with them eyes.
Mm.
That's perverted. That's perverted. Hey, guys, God gave you your mouth to spread forth his word.
Mm-hmm.
Not to cuss.
Yeah.
Not to complain. Not to talk dirty. About every female. That's not why God gave you your mouth. That's not the original purpose and aim of your life. He gave you your ears so you could listen to the word of God, not so you can listen to garbage music. We've twisted the original purpose for it. You know what a lot of people do? They say, yeah, God, I'll take the blessings, but I want to do what I want to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me what to do with them. Whew. It's a good thing I'm not God.
Yep.
If I gave somebody something and they totally turn the purpose of it completely 180 degrees away, Kevin, I'd be very tempted to take that thing away. And God is merciful, like you guys talked about. God's merciful. But man, he's given us the... Why did God give you your ears, your eyes, your mind, your body? Hey guys, God gave you your body so you can serve him.
Yep.
Not so you can mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not so you can ravage it with drugs and alcohol and immorality. That's not why God gave you your body. This guy realizes what he's done. He's saying, I have sinned, personal admission, the perversion of the original aim. I've perverted that which was right. And notice the last thing of 27. And it profited me not. Huh. You know what, guys? That's where sin leads to. That's the end of the road. That's the dead end street that sin leads to. The pointless activity. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I've tried the drinking. I've tried the drugs. I've tried the immorality. I've tried the parties. I've tried the rebellion. I've tried the cussing. I've tried all these things. You know where it leads to? Emptiness.
Yep.
It profited me not. You know what that means? It did me no good.
Yep.
Not one bit. Guys, that's what he's admitting. And can I challenge you with this? Learn that lesson from here. Don't have to learn that in real life by experience.
Yeah.
Don't waste, guys, young men, listen to me today. Don't waste 10, 15, 20, 30 years of your life saying, you know what? That's true. You could have learned that in 5 seconds by reading the word of God and saying, it profited me not.
Yeah.
I didn't come up with that, guys. It's in the word of God. And God knows what he's talking about. The pointless activity. You know what the Bible says? What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? It's talking about a saved person. It's saying, before you got saved, what good ever came from that? What good ever came from those parties? What good ever came from that dancing? What good ever came from that music? What good ever came from that rebellion? You know what the answer is? None. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? So what? You got everything. So what? You got all the possessions. They're not going to go to eternity with you. God's business card, what does it say? It says God's watching the whole world. And what is he looking for? He's looking for somebody that shows some brokenness. Hey guys, I know most of this talking about an unsaved person, we would get that idea. But can I tell you, God's looking for brokenness in saved people too. He's not looking for the guy that's got it all together and impressive to everyone around him. He's looking for somebody that says, Lord, I'm nothing before you. God, I need your power. I need your strength. I need your help. God, I need you. Paul said, when I'm weak, he's strong. That's what God's looking for in us. He's looking for somebody that says, I know that without Jesus, I can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that brokenness? Where is it? Where's that hunger and that desire? All right. The real beholding, the realized brokenness. This guy realizes he doesn't have it all together and he's sick of it. Hey, guys, time out before I throw point number three at you. If you're away from the Lord today, are you sick of that?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Are you tired of that? Are you fed up with that? Have you had enough of that? Because you know what? Until you do, no amount of preaching is going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
Right. No conference you go to will change you.
Yeah.
Some of you are like, yeah, I've messed around with some girls, and yeah, I want to do it more. Well, when you hit the dead end street, bro, then come talk to us. And I'm not trying to be rude or you know, messed up with what I'm saying here. But until you believe that stuff is not good for you, you're not going to look for an answer.
Yeah.
You know, Aiden, if I got some physical problem, until it scares me enough to go to the doctor, I'm not going to get any help. I'm not going to get any better. When it starts really bothering me and interrupting my normal life, I say, oh man, I better do something about this. The real beholding, the realized brokenness, and then point number three, the rescue, that's brilliant. Verse number 28, he, talking about God, will deliver his soul. So time out, guys. It's saying God's watching over everything, right? And what is he looking for? He's looking for somebody with brokenness. He's looking for somebody saying, I've sinned. I've messed up. God gave me all these talents and abilities and skills. And what have I done? I've done perverted things with them. I've messed things up with them. And it led me nowhere. It didn't profit me at all. You know what God says? Verse 28. That's the guy. I will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. The rescue, that's brilliant. This is what our God does. This is what's on his business card. This is what he does all the time. Guys, I'm thankful for this. This is the God that you serve.
Yeah.
The rescue, that's brilliant. You know what it's saying? He will save that person from the pit. Guys, I think that's talking about going to hell. The Bible describes hell as the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 20. Mm-hmm. Guys, you trust in Jesus Christ today, you don't have to go to hell. By the way, I talked about hell is called the bottomless pit. You know, when you get thrown, a person gets thrown into hell, they're falling and falling and falling and falling and falling and falling. You say, when do they hit the bottom? Never! Because there's no bottom to it. You just continue to fall. You say, I've never heard that. You're talking about there's fire? Yeah, there's fire. There's screaming, there's torment, there's torture? Yeah. But there's also falling the whole time in utter darkness. That's a horrible place to be. But you can be saved from that. You know how? By realizing you're broken and that you can't fix it, but he can.
Yeah.
By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You're saved from the pit, and you can be sure to be in his presence one day. It says, not only will God save and deliver that person from going into the pit. At the end of the verse 28, it says, and his life shall see the light.
Yeah.
Guys, that's really cool. You know what that's talking about? You're going to be in God's presence one day. Number one, he's going to show you the light in the truth of the gospel. You're going to hear how you're a sinner on your way to hell. Jesus died for you. And if you accept that you'll be saved. Yeah. And God will turn the light bulb on in your head.
Yeah.
We need that. We need that. And then after you get saved, there will be a transformation that you go through. The Bible says when you get saved, you're a new creature now. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what that is? That's the light.
Yeah.
That's the truth. And one day you'll be together with God. Mm-hmm. Bible says God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And guys, as sinful creatures, we have no business being before God. But because he saves us and cleanses us, one day we'll be able to stand before him and not be ashamed. The Bible says we shall see him and we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's what is going to happen to us one day. Why? We realized we're sinners and we called out to God in mercy saying, please, God. The real beholding, the realized brokenness, the rescue, that's brilliant. Point number four and last, the repeat business. I like this. Verse 29. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man. I like that. You know what he's saying? That stuff that I just talked about, God's watching and he's looking for somebody that's broken and that's empty and that's hurting and that realizes they can't fix themselves. He wants to save that person from going into the pit of hell, and he's going to give them the light of life. You know what he's saying? God does that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Amen. He's saying God does that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You say, even in April of 2024, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Even in Maryland, yes, sir. Even all around our country, yep, and it doesn't stop there. God has no borders to his grace. God has no limit to his power. I'm telling you. Brother Jeffrey was telling me they're starting a new ministry, starting a new church in the Dominican today. Guys, God's power is working there. My family is over in Australia. We have missionaries all across the world that are preaching the gospel to people. You know why? Because God does that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
He takes people that are broken and he builds them up. God takes a life that's shattered and he puts it back together like no one else can. The repeat business. God's saying, yeah, here's my business card. By the way, I've been transforming lives for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
The express prominence. Guys, when he says low, verse number 29, you're like, what is that talking about? You know what the word low means? It means behold.
Yeah.
You know what that means? It means take notice. It means check this out. Now, George, if I just ran off a list of things to you and I said, okay, I want to teach you about this and this and this, but then I say, but check this one out. You know what I'm saying? I like this one the best. This one's cool. This one really sticks out. You know what he's saying? It's amazing that God is looking at everyone. Yes. It's amazing when someone turns from their sin. Yes. And it's amazing that God would save and transform that person. Yes. But you know what's so amazing about it? God doesn't just do that once. He does it all the time. It's like he's saying, man, this is the coolest thing about it. This is the most precious thing about it. And all these things refers back to the things that were listed out in verses 27 and 28. And you know what? Only God can do it. No one else. And the established pattern. God does this all the time. This is not odd. This is not strange. This is not bizarre when God changes the life. That's what he does all the time. You know what the problem is? You know what the hang up is? Us. Because we allow things to get in the way. God's known for this. And guys, can I throw one more thing at you? All these things that God does, he does them oftentimes with man. It's still happening today. It endures to the present. Listen, guys, if you've got some issues, got some secret sins, got some things in your life that don't belong, can I tell you, God's business card is available today. He's got appointments available. You say, how long has he been changing lives? All throughout history, man, as long as man has existed. You know, and he can take people in the worst circumstances with the most horrible sins. And you know what, Jaden? They don't have to have the best background, and they don't have to have the nicest shoes, Ethan, and they don't have to have all the money in the bank, and they don't have to be impressive to people. They can be broken people. They can be people that have messed their lives up real bad. But you know what? If they'll admit that and say, I have sinned, and I have perverted that which is right, and it profited me not. I'm sick of it. I don't want it anymore. And they cry out to God, says, God says, I will take care of your business. And God will change that life. And he'll turn it around, guys. And he can do that today. My friend, that is God's business card. Let's bow our